Spam those W's, everybody. And not only do I need you to spam those W's, but you gotta spam those broom emojis all at the same time. If you're watching this live from your home, if you got a broom by you, go ahead and grab it, because the boys went sweeping in this one as they take care of business against the Colorado Rockies the only way the Amazons know how, and that's by sweeping them this time by a final score. And I sincerely apologize, everybody. I have the wrong graphic up. Please ignore it just for literally 1 second. I just realized that I got so excited. I want to get everything set up for the show as quick as I could that I have the wrong graphic up. So give me 1 second so that way I can pull up the proper graphic for you guys, and then let's react and let's celebrate this amazing victory. Again, it wasn't the easiest victory for the Mets, no doubt about it today, but they did what they ultimately needed to do. I thought I had the right template clicked. I have no clue what happened there, but let's see if this one will actually save for me now. If not, no worries too, guys. Again, just give me 1 second. There we go. Bane, bane, boom. We're locked, we're loaded, and let's get into this one for our latest post-game show and reaction. How you doing, everybody? It's Wardy here, and we break down every big victory and loss throughout the course of the 162 in postseason for this New York Metropolitan team. And today, we have to break down this amazing victory, as not only did the Mets sweep the Colorado Rockies, and not only are the Mets primely positioned now for their four-game set in LA beginning tomorrow night, in which your guy Wardy will in fact be in attendance, so we'll see what happens there for Paul Blackburn's season debut. I don't know. Bruins, baby, now let's kick some Dodger. You know what? Absolutely, Yoshima. Thank you so much for gifting a new membership and for the donation. I really appreciate that, Yoshima. Everybody spam the W's. Oh, my goodness gracious. Juliet, thank you so much for gifting someone a membership in the show. That was really kind of you as well. As you guys chime in live on a replay, I want to see those brooms spam. I want to see those W's spam, as we're going to break down everything that transpired in this Metropolitan 5-3 victory today, headlined by yet another ball game where the Mets had not one, not two, but three home runs, this time courtesy of the core four, the big boppers, the guys that we needed to get hot leading into this LA matchup. As many days. Lindor has his third home run of the series. Polar Bear has to rip a three-run ding-dong because of course he does. So much a breakdown from this amazing victory. Spam those brooms. Spam those W's. Denny with the $2 holla says, imagine having 50 losses already this season, mind you. Yes, Rockies are all-time bad and the Mets needed to sweep this series. There are very rare series where I say with heavy adamancy that the Mets need to go out and sweep. This was certainly one of them. You need to kick the teeth in on a bottom feeder when you're trying to win the whole thing this year. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Clay Holmes had his deepest and longest start of his entire career today, going 7 rock solid innings. We're going to talk about the pros and the cons, everything from there, everybody, as you guys first chime in live at a replay. Again, happy to have you all in here for our latest New York Metropolitan postgame show. And as you guys can see right here, we're going to be breaking down more on these pitching numbers. So I want you guys to start to marinate and formulate these thoughts in your head, and we'll get back to it later on in the show here. How would you grade Clay Holmes' final line today with 7 strong innings? Reed Garrett, once again, an absolute dog. Edwin Diaz had his 0-for-30 skid snap, sadly, of unfortunately batters not doing anything against him, but it didn't matter. He locked it and got in a groove with the 3 punchies right afterwards. And on the offensive end, this is how the ball game ended, as you guys can see right here, top to bottom. A lot to like from the Mets offense to a degree. It didn't start off hot, but it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. Of course, in a game where the Mets face a southpaw with just under a 9-year ERA on the season, he's cruising first to then second turn in the order against this Mets lineup. But as we got midway through, the bats started to break out, and thankfully, it was enough, everybody. Now let's head back here. Thank you so much again for all the donations, guys. You were absolutely amazing. Hit that like and subscribe on your way in, folks. And you guys know the drill by now. We got to do it after every big victory throughout the course of the 162, folks. But let's let it rip, and let me just minimize this for a second. We'll come back to this, actually, in just a minute here for our latest read where our great friends at Seeky. But guys and gals, let's let it rip as we always do with the one, the only, the official Wardy NYM post-game jingle. Let's have ourselves a Sunday, baby. Let's effing go. Yeah. Let's go.
It's my-
The official Wardy NYM postgame jingle, and we have to break out the fake broom brooming there whenever we have ourselves a New York Metropolitan sweep. I hope you guys did that at home too with either a broom or whatever stick you got by you. It's gonna work. It's gonna get the job done. The same way that the Mets and their offense certainly got the job done today. While it wasn't pretty, they just needed a win, baby. And speaking of winning, there's no better way to win when it comes to saving dollars on your Mets tickets. Whether it's going to be tickets for other sports, comedy shows, you name it, then with our great friends here at SeatGeek that have you covered for all your ticketing needs, folks. SeatGeek with over 70,000 active events to choose from, making them the number one rated ticketing app in the game today. Have you covered, especially on the Mets front. I've saved so much money this season thanks to them and our amazing promo code Wardy10 that you can click down below in the description right here, right now for you guys to check out for your next ticket purchase. Again, it doesn't even need to be Mets, but I'm just saying Mets because obviously this is a Mets-dominated channel here, everybody. And what separates SeatGeek from the rest and why I love them so much is their grading scale. As you see, 1 to 10, red to green. Red in the 1 through 5 range means it's not a good bang for your buck there seeking tickets in the SeatGeek app. 7-10 range in the green, it's a great bang for your buck, and you should go seek those tickets in said app, everybody. So again, should you guys have interest, please make sure to check out our great friends at SeatGeek by clicking that link down below in the description of the live show today. Utilize our promo code Wardy10 for 10% off your next ticket purchase. Shout out once more to SeatGeek for being an amazing sponsor on the platform. Now, Yoshima, thank you so much for the $2 holla. I appreciate that. Philly swept by a Brew Crew. Of course they were swept by the Brew Crew. The boys are back in sole possession of first. The Mets are now a full game up, if I'm not mistaken, there in first, or at least a half game. You absolutely love to see it. Rhys Hoskins, I'm pretty sure, helped kick the teeth in on his former team, now foe there. And I hate Rhys, but if he's going to beat up on the Phillies, I'm certainly not going to complain about it. So shout out to the Phillies for getting curb stomped. And listen, the Mets did exactly what the Phillies did. Before anyone comes here and says, oh, Wardy, the Phillies are going to be a big, bad problem, they might. We'll worry about that when they actually become a problem for the first time this season. The Mets handled them without a problem already so far this year, and this is the same Phillies team that went on an 8-game heater against the Athletics, the Pirates, and the Rockies, leading them to ultimately get in first place when the Mets were on a 6-for-8 slide, losing six of their past 8 games. Since then, the Mets have won 3 consecutive series. They also won every single series at home in this homestand. The Mets are now 28-7 at home. If I'm not, actually, I could have that stat completely wrong, but ignore that. Maybe they're 23 or 24. It's 23 or 24 wins at home, 7 losses, best home record on all Major League Baseball. And the boys are going to get tested than they ever have been this season that we are obviously going to see there in LA for a 4-game set for a Mets offense right now and overall pitching staff that is 2-5-1 on the road. They have 2 series wins on the road, 5 series losses, and 1 split series that we saw there, very unfortunately, there against the Nationals in DC. So let's get into breaking down this ball game, all the key positives about it, everybody, and then getting set for that big matchup beginning again tomorrow night with your guy Wardy in attendance against the LA Dodgers in LA. And I will have live coverage for you guys either at the ballpark itself or shortly after I've arrived back to where I'll be staying, exiting Dodger Stadium. Might be a little bit of a cluster, you know what, but we will make sure we have coverage for you guys without a problem tomorrow and throughout the entire series. Haram, thank you so much for the $5 holly. He says, Soto home run is as big as the win. We need this guy to stay hot. Absolutely, and Soto is finally starting to find his swing. Love to see it. D-Mac with the $5 holly says, hello, Kitty Power. First time Lindor, Soto, and Alonso go yard. I mean, there is certainly a connection there, right? The Hello Kitty Day was yesterday, if not today, right? And now we're seeing bombs hit consistently at Citi Field. So keep the Hello Kitty vibes going. I don't care what it needs to be. Whatever the boys need to rally around, whether it's our latest rally pimp, whether it's our latest grimace, whether it's our latest Mr. OMG, just without the OMG, obviously, I'm fine with it because the boys like to ride off these silly little things, these little antics, and it leads to success. And now the boys, again, having swept the Colorado Rockies here, the New York Mets on this season now, so happy and so proud to say this, everybody, are, yes, we are looking at a record of an absolutely gorgeous 37-22. Hype me up, everybody. 37-22 is this New York Metropolitan team now versus Rockies at 9-50, just to show you guys a drastic difference right now. The Mets are inching closer and closer to potentially 20 games above 500, and they can get themselves to one game shy of it and they go ahead and sweep the LA Dodgers. Do I expect it to happen? No. Would I love for it to happen? Yes. Obviously, as a Mets fan, I biasly say that. But I think in that series, as long as we get a series split, I'll be content, and something better than I will be complaining either. You missed your members chat. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Let me go back and see if I can find him, my man. Let's go up here for 1 second. Oh, Sean MD, how we doing, how we doing, my man? We in first. Let's go, and let's please win at least two against the Dodgers, and let's hope Vientos gets hot soon. Vientos didn't have a terrible day at the plate today. Ripped himself a double, so that's encouraging. Mike Nixon, great member here of 13 month states of following. Let's effing go, Wardy. Soto's so back. I can see it. He seems confident. Again, enjoy your time in LA, Wardy. I'm about nervous for tomorrow with Blackburn on the mound. I am too, but at least you're not in attendance for her, right? I just hope we split with LA. Me too. I hope we split, and even if the boys don't show up tomorrow on their first day there coming off that flight, it isn't the end of the world. Just gotta hope that they at least split, if not something greater in said four-game matchup against the big bad Dodgers, everybody. But shout out all my live members here, my reoccurring subscribers, my new subscribers as well. We're happy to have you here. We break down every game throughout the course of the 162 and postseason, and we give you guys pretty much daily recap videos as to what's happening in Mets land separate from the games itself. We do individual player deep dives, we do prospect reports pretty consistently, and a whole lot more. We'll have plenty dropping for you guys early tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. By the time the video drops, I'll probably either be in LA or, you know, actively flying to LA. So we'll see what happens then, everybody. But go Mets with a $5 holla. Thank you so much for that. They said Mets back in first place. Soto is so back, and the offense will keep rolling. Yes, a lot of things to be happy about. The Braves lost today, too, because of course they did. Curb stop them, baby. I want everybody absolutely cooked in the National League East. But sadly, the Washington Nationals are doing what I expected them to do this season, and they're playing really good baseball, guys. The Nationals, in my opinion, are going to be a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with for years to come, starting this year, no doubt about it. Cesar, I want Wardy to give a shout out. I have to. Zach, if it's your birthday, happy birthday, Zach. Thank you so much for chiming in, you absolute stud. Zach Flaker in the chat, birthday shout out to my friend Jordan, sharing his day all with Santana Day. Love to see that. Again, we are already 13 years removed from Mr. Johan's Nohan that we saw there with the no-no for Mr. Johan Santana. Again, happy birthday to your guy Jordan there. Thank you so much for chiming in, Zach. I appreciate that. A couple things I want to relay further before we break down this ball game, inning by inning, everybody, and getting all your comments, questions, and concerns. Please make sure to relay them in the chat and the comments down below. We love to see them, especially after a big series sweep like this one. I don't care that's against the Rockies. Any series sweep is a big series sweep, and we'll gladly take that, guys. Francisco Lindor now. We have a lot to say on him, as we do with Alonso that I'm going to get into shortly, everybody. But even on a day where the Mets, again, had themselves a 3-1 lead, then they cough it back up, their resilience was like this today. They just had it working, and they did exactly what they need to do against this Colorado Rockies team. So, all right, everybody, let's get on to breaking down this ballgame here. Again, the Mets are now 37-22 on the year. Let's see what they can do here in their series against LA beginning tomorrow. Day with the $5 holla, right at the buzzer. Before we break down this ball game, thank you, Dave. Love you, my man. Nice, sweet. More merch arriving to me. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Dave. Waiting for one more. We'll send a box out to you when you return from LA. I appreciate that. You in here as always. LFGM, Juan Diaz, great member. Daniel Capps, great member. Aaron Jacobs, great member. Yoshima, great member. Camp, how we doing? Chad O'Neill, great member. Juan, how we doing? Juliet, great member. Going up here. Go Mets from earlier, Yoshima. We got Chad. We got Ethan. How we doing? We got all you guys. We got Dino Caps, if I didn't say him already. Seamus, great member as always. All you guys. Haram, great member as well with the donation from earlier. All you guys watching live on a replay. DMAC as well. Thank you guys so much. Let's now break down this ballgame. Steve Lon, my guy. How are you? Happy to have you in here. This ballgame begins in the first for Clay Holmes, and he gets a flat on Jordan Beck to start this one off. Then Sam Hilliard gets on with a one-out single, and Ezekiel Tovar grounds into an inning-ending double play. And that does it there for the top of the first. And the bottom of the first, the Mets actually go down in order. Again, this ballgame did not start smoothly by this Mets offense, but it picked up naturally as the ballgame went on. Lindor struck out swinging. Marte struck out there, gained the start in the two-hole today. And we saw Marte get the start in the two-hole. Beatty was at third base, and Vientos was at DH. Marte started today over Brandon Nimmo, and then Nimmo came in later on in the ballgame. 1-2-3 for the Mets in the first. As we then got to the second, everybody, we saw 1-2-3 for Clay Holmes yet again, this time with the ground out on McMahon. a line out on Doyle, had a big strikeout there on Keston Hira, who was just called up for the big home run hitter, especially from the left side of Michael Taglia. Taglia, who had a decent amount of home runs last year and hit at least three at Citi Field. I remember it like it was yesterday. Now Taglia is back in the minor leagues as the Rockies just have no effing clue what they're doing. Worry this is the best way to go into the Dodgers series? Without question, it's the best way to go into a series. 1,000%, my friend. Even against the Rockies, because again, it's not the Mets' fault that they're playing the Rockies and the Dodgers. The same way that after the Mets play the Dodgers in LA, guess where they're going after that? They're going to Colorado to play the Rockies next weekend. So that's just how the schedule makers made it. They literally gave us Dodgers, White Sox, Rockies, Dodgers, Rockies. They're like, all right, let's give you the worst, the best, the worst. That's pretty much how they orchestrate it. And hey, you know, not any middle ground there, but that's fine as long as the Mets can hopefully come out and ball out here in LA. So as we get to the bottom of the second, everybody, the Mets have themselves another 1-2-3, and just no one can read this schmuck of his southpaw and Palmquist at all. Palmquist is making me think this guy's going to be a hockey player. He sounds like my right winger there from Sweden, not a guy that should be towing the rubber here for the Colorado Rockies, but a guy who entered today's start with right around a 90 around the season is cruising early on. He somehow, someway strikes out the side on this Mets team, from the Polar Bear to Beatty to Torrens, are all out of here via strikeout. I'm saying myself, you know what, I'm not overly shocked. This tends to happen when the Mets at times play a lefty that they have no clue, they've never seen before, and on top of it, he is, say, bad, and that was kind of the case entering this start today. So then we see Orlando Arcia, who was just picked up, mind you, by the Colorado Rockies. The New York Mets and the New York Yankees did show a level of interest in Orlando Arcia, by the way, but he wanted a more guaranteed opportunity with what is pretty much a minor league team and the Colorado Rockies. Arcia, however, after turning down the Mets' minor league contract offer, and yes, that's correct, the same Orlando Arcia that all of us Mets fans hated a couple years ago, leading to the Braves winning back the division there in 2022, and then what led to the demise of them a lot in 2023, the same Arcia was a bum in Atlanta this year, gets cut, signs there with the Colorado Rockies, and this schmuck, of course, and we're rocking the schmuck tees today, if you know, you know. Shout out to the OGs that have them back when we had our podcast there with my guy Rec and Anthony. Hope they're doing fantastic right now. Rec and Anthony, I meant to say Rec and Joe. Shout out to you, Joe. Orlando Arcia rips his first home run of the year, and this is now the sixth home run in the past four starts that has been allowed that we've seen given up by Clay Holmes. And I had the schmuck shirt back when we used to do a Mets podcast on the platform. What our post game shows, it was we rebranded it after we left a network, and then unfortunately, not long after we departed from the pod, just because our conflicting schedules was not going to have things be as consistent as we all want them to be for how saturated the podcasting space is. We know that there's a lot of great talking heads in the space outside from ourselves, and we were like, if we weren't able to commit to it as much as we would have liked to consistently, where one guy's carrying more than the other per se, then we just figured we'd go our separate ways, and that's what we did. Love them all to death, though, and they're all doing great right now, I'm sure. The Rockies somehow, some way, take an early 1-0 lead. But you know what, guys? Just like every other game, with the exception of one victory the Mets have had in this homestand, every other game that they played in that they've won, they rallied back. Literally every single game. The Mets rallied back in Game 2 against the Dodgers and Game 3 against the Dodgers. The Mets rallied back in each of their victories against the Chicago White Sox. And now the Mets have rallied back in every game in what was ultimately a sweep, with the exception of that first game in this series, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Mets had the lead right away in Game 1, Game 2. Yesterday, they didn't, and they rallied back, which is why I wasn't concerned, because Senga gave up the early bomb. Very similar to Holmes giving up the home run today. Again, far from concerned by it. You know they're going to get in a groove. It's just a matter of when, not necessarily if, obviously. All things Mets talk. How are you? Happy to have you in here. Greg with a $5 Hall of States of Following. Hope you don't hate me for this analogy, but this reminds me of the Carolina Hurricanes. Brindamore ends mediocrity. Mendoza and Stearns end mediocrity. Let's see. Are you saying that the Mets remind you of the Carolina Hurricanes? Or are you just saying that Brendan Moore ended the Hurricanes being mediocre? Is that what you're saying? Making them go from a mediocre team to a very good team? I agree that Mendoza and Stearns have absolutely ended the mediocre stretch of what this Mets organization is supposed to be for a number of years. But I'm interested as to why you went with the Carolina Hurricanes as an analogy, because while, yes, they absolutely went from being a bottom feeder for a number of years in the NHL, without question, the Rangers used to kick their teeth in every year for a number of years, and then they go and they make proper draft picks, proper signings, headlined by Sebastian Aho, obviously back in the day when they used to have Teuvo Teravainen before they trade him, and then you saw Andrei Svechnikov come in and all their other pieces, Seth Jarvis, etc., and they just haven't gotten over that playoff hump. But yes, they did go from being a bad to a very good team for a number of years, no doubt. They just haven't gotten over that hump yet, though, to actually find themselves in championship play. That's been the biggest hurdle for the Carolina Hurricanes on a hockey tangent, and thank you guys for coming to my TED Talk. But getting back into this one, everybody, after Orlando Arcia homers, they will go down from there, as there will be a ground out on Tyler Freeman, Jacob Stallings a strikeout, and Jordan Beck with a ground out, and that does it for the top of the third. At the bottom of the third, everybody, we would see Marky V and Mark Vientos ground out, Tyrone Taylor get on with a single, one out single for TT, love to see it. Luis Angel Acuna again, who was originally named NL Rookie of the Month, has the lowest OPS plus and WRC plus for the Mets in the month of May. He didn't even have a 40 for context. That's how much it was underwhelming in his limited sample size offensively. He unfortunately strikes out, and then Lindor pops out, and that does it there for the inning. And yes, all my OGs, my first year on YouTube, I was called Wardy NHL before I revamped that to Rangers Review as a podcast I did for a couple years. And then I just fully committed to Wardy MYM after a couple years because it's just that not only Wardy MYM was a moneymaker, but it's where I had my most passion. And I want to commit the most here versus any other sport. I just love baseball and I love the Mets more than anything. So it really kind of became a perfect pairing inevitably. In the fourth inning, Clay Holmes would get a nice 1-2-3 on Hillier with a ground out, Tovar with a ground out, and then McMahon with a ground out, everybody. And then that gets a set for the bottom of the fourth inning. In the bottom of the fourth, Starling Marte with a walk. He then steals his fourth bag of the year there, getting into second. Juan Soto then gets on with a hit by pitch. And here comes Pete Alonso with two on, no out. The same Polar Bear is batting 300 plus with runners in scoring position this season. What does the Polar Bear do, everybody? Pete Alonso takes advantage. And that is why Pete is one of the many hitters that we have to highlight today, as the Polar Bear helped the Mets to this ultimate 5-3 victory thanks to that Oppo Taco of a Ding Dong, a 3-run shot for Pete Alonso that gave the Mets a 3-1 lead. Hype me up, Pete. That's what we love to see, baby. Pete Alonso's 12th home run this season, and now just like that, everybody, Alonso is just 15 home runs shy of the New York Metropolitan total record. We're not just talking in season record, we're talking franchise existence record. Pete is not all that far behind the greats there, and Daryl Strawberry, David Wright, and then we have there again, Pete is just oh so close, guys. It's actually insane how close Alonso is already at this point in his career, but it just shows you that not only is Alonso going to get there and have the most amount of home runs in Mets franchise history by this season's conclusion, but for all we know, he may get there with some, you know, comfortable time left on the year. He's 15 away. He's already got 12 right now. Pete can really start to get on his home runs here like we saw in the month of April. Then great things are going to happen, everybody. But I want to know, how are you guys feeling right now with the Polar Bear, Pete? A fantastic game by the Polar Bear, as was the case with the Mets. Core three offensively, leading them to their 5-3 victory. And this put the Mets up at the time of the ball game. They're 3-1 to be exact. My favorite player is Jacob Stallings. You know, I hate Jacob Stallings. For those that don't know, I attended one game ever at PNC Park in Pittsburgh, and it was 2021 season, and that's the game where Edwin Diaz gave up a grand slam to walk off the ball game, unexpected home run of 0.030. Just unbelievable on the expected batting average. It wasn't even at a 100 line. It somehow, some way, just got out of the ballpark. And it was a one-day trip me and my buddy did. I was right behind the Mets dugout, and I had to head all the way back home, like 4.5-hour drive that same night. It was just absolutely horrendous. And Jacob Stallings is the man who broke my heart and dreams in what was still an absolutely abysmal 2021 season for the Mets, and my first full season covering them as a content creator and talking head now. But thank you for the PTSD reminder. I appreciate it, Dave. All jokes aside, everybody, as we continue on in this one, the Mets again have themselves a 3-1 lead, and then Brett Beatty did get called out on strikes. Then Terenz flies out, and then with two outs, everybody, Marky V steps up. Swaggy V with his 8th double of the season. Mark rips himself a double, and just like that, the Mets have a runner in scoring position with two outs, and this is a spot where Tyrone Taylor has thrived to a degree this season. No doubt about it, but unfortunately, Taylor was strikeout swinging, and that does it there for the inning. Not before the Mets, however, take a 3-1 lead, but unfortunately, they give it right back. They literally give it right back. After Keston Hira gets on with a hit by pitch, Orlando Arcia flies out, and then Tyler Freeman rips his first home run as a Colorado Rocky. What's with all the damn firsts this series? Very frustrating. Between Sam Hilliard's like first hit of the year, one other guy has first hit of the year, I think, or something along those lines. Tyler Freeman now with his first home run of the year and first as a Rocky since he's been dealt there. That tied the ball game 3-3 on what was unfortunately a meatball there that we saw by Clay Holmes. The pitch selection could have been a little bit more ideal for Clay. It was literally first pitch, slider, hun, right down the pipe, 85 middle. What do you think is going to happen? See ya. And that ties the ball game 3-3, everybody. But thankfully, again, this Mets offense is resilient. So resilient that, as a matter of fact, after the schmuck and Jacob Stallings flies out to end the inning there in the fifth, we get to the bottom of the fifth. And after a Luis Angel Acuña lineout to get us back to the top of the order for Francisco Lindor, Francisco Lindor does what he does best, and Lindor rips his 13th home run this season, everybody, to give the Mets, yes, a 4-3 lead. And we just emphasized the greatness that was the polar bear from today's game, no doubt about it. But let's go ahead and also talk another minute or two about what stood out yet again by Francisco Lindor, because I understand you're playing the Colorado Rockies. I also understand that Lindor still had to step up, and Lindor stepped up a fantastic way for this Mets team today that I'm never going to find myself complaining about, everybody. Let's take a moment to appreciate the greatness that was Francisco today, and really just how fantastic he was this entire series, everybody. Francisco Lindor's first game in the series, he casually hits not one, but two ding-dongs, right? So game one, you get two home runs from the from Mr. Francisco Lindor in said matchup. Game two, you get himself another productive day, on base multiple times. And now game three, a home run yet again that we see from the right side of the play. Lindor has himself a .282 average and an .845 OPS now on the season. And what stands out a lot for me now, Francisco, is that Lindor now has himself how many home runs? A good amount of home runs. And not only is he in a respectable class for the Mets home run leaders, I think he's tied for 11th already, all time on the Mets home run leaderboard, which is insane for a guy who's only entered his fifth season with us this year. And Lindor now is fourth all-time, and not just Mets history, but Major League Baseball history in home runs from a shortstop. So, unbelievably impressive, the tear that Lindor continues to have. Not only is this man deserving of being a all-star this year, a captain in doing so, he does deserve a gold glove if we exclude some of those early error frustrations, as long as he doesn't have the same amount of hiccups each and every month. He was much better in the month of May than the month of April, if I had to argue defensively, or maybe I'm just letting short-term bias get ahead of myself, and maybe he was not so great in the first couple weeks of May. That could be true. Regardless, Francisco Lindor, another home run, another big game for him, and he got on base what felt like the vast majority of the series, right? Because he got on base all four times in game one. He got on base three out of the four times yesterday. So he got on base for 7 out of 8 opportunities in this series. And now we're looking at he got on base 8 times out of what was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He got on base 8 out of the 12 times in this series against the Rockies. I don't care if it's against the Colorado Rockies. I don't care if it's against the Atlanta Braves. It is still going to be very impressive to see the New York Mets and Francisco Lindor in particular, our captain, get on base 8 out of 12 opportunities in one single series. So we're going to take that little win for what it is, everybody. And I would love to hear your thoughts about Francisco Lindor in this one, as his home run that he pulled to left gave the Mets at the time of this ball game a 4-3 lead. And thankfully, they would only tack on from here, because the Mets have them up 4-3 thanks to Lindor. Soto gets on with a walk, and unfortunately, Alonso would ground out after Jake Bird came in relief. That then brings us to the sixth inning. In the sixth inning, everybody, Beck would line out, Hillier would fly out, and Zico Tovar would ground out. But the funny thing about this play is that Luis Angel Acuña initially jumped to the wrong side. He jumped to the actual wrong side, and in doing so, made it a little bit more difficult to get that playoff, but he still leaned back, got the catch, made the nice throw there to Alonso. It was a little bit more of a difficult play than it should have otherwise been there that we saw for Luis Angel Acuña, but he was certainly strong on the defensive end today. But yes, we all know that the bat has not been there, but what has been there has still been elite base running and base stealing ability when he has been on the base pass, obviously. Just been a matter of him getting consistent playing time and when he's been out there being effective or not on the offensive end. In the bottom of the sixth inning, everybody, the Mets are struck out 3 times in a row for the second time in this ballgame, this time all by the right-hander and Bird. He strikes out Brett Beatty. He strikes out Luis Torrens, and he strikes out Mark EV for a nice 1-2-3. And the second time today, the Mets had themselves struck out by the side. We would see that in the seventh, everybody. Ryan McMahon with a pop-out, a ground out by Brendan Doyle, and Keston Hira then with a ground out as well. That's a fantastic 1-2-3 inning there. And the final inning, everybody, of Clay Holmes' day. Clay Holmes, who entered the seventh inning today, and for the first time in his career, recorded an out in the seventh inning there. Not as a reliever, but this time as a starter. The longest, deepest start of his career there on innings pitch. A fantastic overall day from Clay Holmes, because even, guys, even with The home run bombs that he gave up in this one, there is still encouragement. And let's get into what exactly that is, everybody, because Clay Holmes' final line is as follows. He goes 7 innings, a 3 earned run, 3 strikeout, 3 hit baseball at a 3.07 ERA. So 3-7-0 are the only numbers. Isn't that kind of nuts? Look at the stats down below, everybody. There's only a 3, a 0, and a 7. There are no other numbers that we can see. Kind of a bizarre line, but I like it for Clay Holmes. And what I love most about Clay Holmes today is that he attacked the batters. It was a no-nonsense outing from Clay Holmes. He wasn't walking everybody and their mother, which he tends to do so, which prohibits him from, say, going as deep in outings that we otherwise want to see as Mets fans. But Clay Holmes went seven strong starts at, pardon me, oh, can't even talk today. And maybe it's because I prefer the night games. The day games usually get me a little thrown off, especially when I'm rushing to get these shows for you guys started right after the ball game in time. Regardless, 7 solid innings by Clay Holmes, say everybody. And you're seeing not just Clay Holmes highlights, but also just in-game highlights in general, because there really weren't a lot of Clay Holmes highlights for me to find on the web to share with you guys today. So you're just watching the entire game clip highlights overall. But Clay Holmes, what was working with his arsenal today, everybody? Let's take a look, because he had obviously all the pitches. He threw all 6 pitches in his arsenal today. Topping out was the sweeper this time at 31%, and he topped out 84, the velocity, and sat 82. The sinker at 29%, he topped out at 85 and sat right around 84. The four-seam fastball at 19%, topped out at 94 and sat right around 93. The slider at 13%, topped out 86 and sat right around 85. The changeup at 6% of the arsenal, topped out right around 88 and sat right around 88. And the cutter at 2% of the arsenal, topped out 89 and sat right around 88, everybody. And that was it for Clay Holmes' final line today. I'm giving Clay Holmes on an outing like this to give us 7 strong innings. I am going to give him, oh, it's really tough for me. I want to go 7 out of 10. I feel like I have to go 7 out of 10. You know what? The home runs were a little annoying. This game was closer than it needed to be, but he was still rock solid when he wasn't giving up those bombs. And now Clay Holmes has given up 7 home runs over his past 4 outings. That is notable when you consider he didn't allow a single home run in the previous 7 or so outings that he had, if I'm not mistaken. So again, we'll still take the victory for what is. Clay Holmes against the Rockies wasn't necessarily unhittable, but he was pretty solid. He only gave up 3 hits, and sadly 2 of them went out of the ballpark. So Clay's going to get a 7 out of 10 grade from your guy Ward today, and I would love to hear from you guys watching live in the comments on replay. How would you grade Clay Holmes' final line today on a final score of 1 to 10? Because like I said, yesterday I gave Kodai Senga a 7 out of 10. Did I give Kodai a 7 out of 10? I think I did give him a 7 out of 10 because I thought he was raw. I thought he was very impressive, even with him not giving us 7 innings yesterday. You don't have to give me 7 innings every time to warrant the 7 out of 10 grade. I just personally prefer, one, my innings eaters, eliminating the walk rate, and obviously I like to see a decent amount of strikeouts. So he had no swing to miss really against the Colorado Rockies today, but he did have the command, and that was important to me because I did not want to see Clay Holmes walking everybody and their mother, and instead of this being a 7 strong inning outing, he's out of there in 5.1 innings because he has 4 walks on his damn ledger. So happy with that, and I'll take that from Clay Holmes, everybody. You guys let me know what you would grade him once more, 1 out of 10 to our live viewers and everyone watching replay as we're breaking down the latest here in Mets Slam. But as we get back into this one, folks, the ball game wasn't done yet. There's a little bit more to get into because in the bottom of the 7th, and thank you so much for the donation, Dave, with a $5 holla, Jorge Lopez went nutty again and was DFA'd by the Nats. Of course he was. I'm not shocked to hear that, actually. I will check that out, actually, more after I break this one down. And my seat just lowered itself without me asking. Oh, that was hilarious. Give me 1 second, everybody. What just happened there? Come on, there we go. Yeah, this seat has been bugging today. Like, every couple hours, it just... right when I'm not even asking for it. But all right, guys. In the bottom of the 7th, Tyrone Taylor would ground out. Luis Angel Acuña would ground out. And Francisco Lindor would pop out. That does it there for the 7th. We would see in the 8th inning, everybody, Orlando Arcia would ground out. And this would be after Reed Garrett comes in. We need some Reed Garrett today, baby, to make sure everything's fine. And he certainly did his part. The only thing I don't like about Reed Garrett in today is that Reed Garrett pitched on back-to-back days now. And now Reed is certainly not going to be available tomorrow. And he might be available the following throwing day, but you ideally would like to give him back-to-back days rest if you can. Just probably won't happen. Arcia grounds out. Tyler Freeman gets on with a single, second time he reached base today. He then steals his fourth bag of the year. Hunter Goodman would then strike out there because Reed Garrett had this thing chefing up big time on that sweeper, beautifully placed down and away. When Reed has that sweeper working, especially going from the splitty to the sweeper, it is just a thing of beauty. And he did that for back-to-back days now. Jordan Beck there that we saw with the strikeout as well. Fantastic work by Reed Garrett to strike out back-to-back batters to work around that one out batter, getting on with a walk and then ultimately getting a scoring position there after the second out. That sweeper again, gorgeously placed, this time not down and away, but down and kind of in there on Beck, and it wasn't a problem, and that does it there for the eighth inning, everybody. In the bottom of the eighth, we would see Mr. Juan Soto with one out. It's Juan Soto time, everybody. He finally is starting to heat up, and we're loving to see it, guys. Did the phone book slip off the chair? That's a good question. I can't even be mad about that, because that's exactly the same shit I'd say if I knew I was a short schmuck. Though I mean, I know I'm a short schmuck, but I'm saying if I was from your perspective, I would 100% say that. Demeo Cruz, my man with the fight, aha, longtime follower, longtime supporter. The boys are warming up for LA. Let's go, Wardy. You said it, baby, and I'm warming up for LA too. I can't wait to be there. Dave with the $2 says, donate to Wardy so you can buy a new chair. No, the chair's fine. I actually just got this, and that's what makes it all the more funny. But regardless, thank you guys both so much for the donations. I appreciate that, everybody. I really do. But guys, let's talk about Juan Soto, because Juan Soto for a second consecutive day had the home run spree working, and you absolutely love to see it, guys. Not only did Pete Alonso get a home run, not only did we see Francisco Lindor get himself a home run, but we saw the one and only Juan Soto get in the home run accolade for back-to-back days. And what I love so much about this is that Juan Soto is finally starting to heat up exactly when we need him to, right? There's no better time for Juan Soto to get that home run swing a little hot, a little steamy, than when we're heading into a huge four-game set there against the LA Dodgers. Now, as we expand more on Soto here, everybody, what is there to take away from today's final line of a 1-for-4 day there? And you guys should see update in 1 second. I apologize that it hasn't happened sooner. I guess it didn't save when I wanted to save. So Wardy's going to try one more time and see if this thing will stop acting like a schmuck. Hold on 1 second. It's because the Soto template is the last thing I made right before this game started. There we go. Perfect. Juan Soto, guys, just a 1-for-2 day for him, because he got on with more than just the home run that we saw. He got on with a hit-by-pitch and a walk as well. Juan Soto's home run now, what we saw there, love to see it. His 10th home run of the season, and Juan ripped all that baseball, clearly pulling that big time, and that gave the Mets a 5-3 lead and ultimately a 5-3 victory, 110 miles per hour off the bat there off of Agnos, the right-hander for Colorado, and just under 390 feet on a 22-degree launch angle. That had a home run probability of 94%. Yeah, that was 100% going to be out. No doubt about it. Juan Soto now, everybody, he's starting to heat up big time. He reached base safely and 4 out of 9 opportunities in this series. And that's notable because Soto didn't have one measly hit in his series against the Chicago White Sox. So again, we're going to take these little victories for what they are. Juan Soto absolutely decimating that baseball middle. What else do you think is going to happen, everybody? So I'm very encouraged to see what we're getting from Juan as of late now. And this is a great step in the right direction, everybody, because now when we take a Juan Soto's numbers and in comparison, Juan Soto was batting 0.077 and his previous week of baseball entering this matchup against the Colorado Rockies, entering the series overall. But now if we take a look at Juan Soto's numbers over the past week, they have changed. Let's just see how drastic they have changed over this small sample size. Juan Soto now, everybody, over his past 7 games, brought that batting average up from a 0.077 to 174. But the on-base now is up to 310, and the slugging is at a 478. So Buddy is looking like Kyle Schwarber right now with a 174 average, but we're looking at here just under 800 OPS. So the home run swing was fantastic in this series and over the past couple games. We obviously want to see a continuation of this from Juan, who had himself 2 home runs and a double in this series against the Colorado Rockies. If Juan Soto can get this home run swing continued in LA there, where we know he's had the flair for the dramatic. Soto has balled out in every stadium in his career, but especially at LA, I feel like he's had that flair for the dramatic. Let's actually look up real quick, everybody. Let's just look up Juan Soto's stats against the Dodgers in general, because I won't be able to find them probably in Dodgers Stadium in particular right now, but I might be able to find them. actually, that's a lie. I know for a fact where I can find them, everybody. Alvin, thank you so much for the Vidal Hall. I appreciate that. Who do you think the Mets are going to send down next? That's a great question. As we know, Paul Blackburn is going to be called up there. So I'd imagine that the immediate send down will be Chris Devensky as the corresponding move barring changes. That's my assumption. And then on the offensive end, it's a much greater question because the Mets don't have any immediate need there outside of the fact that Ronnie Mauricio continues to play like a man possessed. Ronnie had another very productive game in Syracuse that I'm going to recap for you guys in a video that will be dropping tomorrow. But let's head back to the main slide here, everybody. And let me pull up the Juan Soto numbers at Dodger Stadium. I may relay them as well in our video that will drop tomorrow, so be on the lookout for it. But I'm awfully curious now, and I want to see what are Juan Soto's splits at Dodger Stadium. And I know I can find them if I head over to Baseball Reference right now, because Baseball Reference will have what I need, everybody. And then we'll get on to breaking down the remainder of the ballgame. There's not much more to break down from there. Reed Garrett, again, shut the door down that we saw in the eighth inning. And then in the ninth inning, everybody, Sam Hilliard got on with a single that sadly broke the 0-for-30 skid for opponent batters facing Edwin Diaz. But then Edwin promptly struck out the side afterwards. Bane, bane, boom, not a problem. Edwin Diaz cleans him up with ease, and the Mets go on to win this one by a final score of 5-3. So now let's look at these Soto splits, everybody. I'm really curious now because he dominates everywhere he's been, but I don't know in particular just how good his numbers are there in Dodger Stadium, especially for a guy who was with the Padres obviously for a year and a half. So he definitely has had a good amount of experience there. But as we go to the splits, we'll just go ahead and check them out. Please know Blackburn. Unfortunately, we're getting Blackburn, whether you like it or not, and he'll be starting the game. I'll be in attendance there in LA at Dodger Stadium tomorrow. So we'll see what happens, everybody. Let's see. If we take a look at the splits going all the way down. Here we go. Ballparks. All right, guys. Dodger Stadium numbers for Juan Soto. In his career, he has 20 games and 82 plate appearances, 70 at-bats. In said 70 at-bats, he has 20 hits, 14 runs scored, 2 doubles, 1 triple, 5 home runs in those 20 games, 12 RBIs, a .286 average, a .390 on base, and a .557 slug for a .947 OPS. If the Mets can get a line at all similar to that from Juan Soto in this series, I, for one, am not going to be complaining. Again, not the best numbers in a singular ballpark, as he's dominated better in other ballparks, including Citi Field. But still, interesting to see there the numbers from Juan Soto. Certainly encouraging ones there at Dodger Stadium. So I'm going to be looking to Juan to hopefully keep that home run swing happy and healthy in this 4-game set. And the biggest thing, everybody, and I'm going to say this more in our video that will drop tomorrow, but just to reiterate here, it's go time now. It is without question go time. You got the big bad Dodgers. You got their three-headed monster in the MVPs that you have there. And Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and obviously you're going to have Freddie Freeman. But for the Mets, when you have Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, it might not be as good on paper, but it's just as good when it comes to regular season production right now. And I have just as much confidence in these three batters to get the job done on a daily basis as I feel the Dodgers probably have confidence in that three-headed monster for themselves there in this 4-game matchup. So I'm really, really excited to see how things are going to go in this 4-game set. I'm cautiously optimistic and nervous in game one because I definitely see a world where Blackburn is batting practice while I'll be in attendance, but I also see a world where Blackburn isn't horrendous, and it really just kind of comes down to maybe the Mets being a little flat on the road after, you know, they just flew in. But the good news is that by them having a day game today, they will get to LA at ample time. They will have a little bit of time to adjust, so you don't want to give them too much benefit of the doubt if, say, they don't show up offensively tomorrow. But what I'm looking for most, everybody, when it comes to this Dodgers matchup, and I'll say it more tomorrow, but I'll say it again here because I know some of you guys might miss tomorrow's video, but you'll see the postgame show. It's as follows. When the Mets are 2-5-1 in series so far on the road, you have to go out and make some type of statement. I'm not saying that statement needs to be sweeping the LA Dodgers at home, and by at home, I'm saying LA, but what I am saying is you have to at least split this thing. I understand the Mets have not been the best team on the road this year. They're 13-15, if memory serves me correct. And you look at their past number of series that they've lost, they lost on the road against the Yankees. They lost on the road against the Red Sox. And the commonality in these series is that the Mets' bats simply did not show up. The runner and scoring position woes continue. They mounted. And speaking of runners and scoring position, everybody, let me enlighten you as to how the Mets fared in their series finale. Because they won 5-3 today, and the Mets were actually 1-for-2. They had very limited opportunity with runners in scoring position. So not the exact same thing that we're getting there. But Point that I'm trying to make is that the Mets have played far from their best baseball on the road so far this year, and it'll be great to see them get off to the right foot here and hopefully, again, at least split and not try to take 3 out of 4 against the reigning, obviously, champions and the team that bested the Mets there in 6 games in the NLCS. Dave, thank you so much for the $2 holla. Dave states the following: Mets next year, Skeens and Schwarber. Who says no? Who says no? All jokes aside, thank you so much for the donation. I appreciate that a lot, Dave. Love you. Happy to have you, as always, everybody. But I want to hear from you Mets fans again, all your thoughts or comments and questions as to what you feel is going to happen now with the Mets after sweeping the Colorado Rockies and getting set there for their 4-game set in LA. This is going to cut things off for all of my For all my replay viewers, we're going to be cutting off the stream now. What that simply means is I'm going to stare in the camera a little bit longer than I typically should, and that's to give myself a timestamp, but I'm going to cut out the stream for anyone that watches it on replay shortly after it's been live. The purpose is that my replay viewers tend to like it when these shows aren't upwards of an hour, or at least a little bit less than that, and I want to go at least an hour for you guys today here to answer your comments, questions, and concerns. So for the next 10 to 15 minutes, it's going to be an open, awardee Q&A session for you guys on the Mets front, talking more Mets-related topics, among other things, but all of our replay viewers, this is where we will cut things off, so please let me know all your key takeaways in the comments down below to the Mets sweeping the Colorado Rockies in the best-of-three series, and your initial expectation, anticipation, excitement, optimism, pessimism, and everything in between getting set for that big series in LA. Thank you guys again. As always, no matter what, let's go Mets, baby. Peace out.